Hi, I'm very happy to present to you a conversation with a Senegalese man that I very much respect and that inspires me a lot. I'm quite excited, but before we get into it, a quick word to my German-speaking listeners. Es tut mir leid, dass ich zwangsläufig Menschen ausschließe, wenn ich eine Folge auf Englisch mache. Gleichzeitig habe ich letztens mit einer Freundin aus Argentinien gequatscht, die meinte, wow, voll inklusiv, dass du mal eine Folge auf Englisch machst. Aus ihrer Perspektive ist natürlich die deutsche Sprache eine Sprache, die nur wenige verstehen. Mein Leben ist einfach zweisprachig und ich finde das unglaublich wertvoll. Deswegen möchte ich das auch in diesem Podcast so ausdrücken. Ich meine es als Einladung, diese Bilingualität schätzen zu lernen. Und auch wenn es manchmal schwer ist, eine Sprache zu lernen, nicht aufzugeben, sondern es immer wieder zu probieren. Ich fühle mich so oft schlecht mit meinem Französisch oder habe da einen großen Widerstand in mir. Und das Einzige, was hilft, ist einfach nur, da durchzupowern und es immer wieder zu probieren. Und was am Ende liegt, ist echt phänomenal. Und ich schätze das sehr. Also danke für euer Verständnis. Und jetzt gönnt euch die erste englische Episode des Radikal Unterwegs Podcasts.
Unterwegs, Adverb, Weg irgendwohin, auf Reisen, draußen auf der Straße.
Radikal, Adjektiv, von Grund aus erfolgend, ganz und gar, vollständig, gründlich.
Radikal, eine extreme politische, ideologische, weltanschauliche Richtung vertretend und gegen die bestehende Ordnung ankämpfend.
Hi, willkommen zum Radikal Unterwegs Podcast. Hier teile ich die Erfahrungen und Geschichten meiner Reisen zusammen mit radikalen Ideen und Reflexionen aus meinen eigenen Prozessen. Mein Name ist Lukas Bliss und ich wünsche euch viel Spaß. Bye, the person that I'm interviewing today is pretty much the reason why I'm staying in St. Louis. When I was looking for somebody to host me here on Couchsurfing, I quickly found his profile due to the numerous requests that were enthusiastically praising their lovely experience they had with him. I was very grateful that he accepted me and put me up with a project that he was working in. Since then, we've become good friends and he's become a mentor of some sorts because I'm learning a lot from our great and deep conversations and the daily exchange with him. He's a very humble and intelligent man. But on top of that, whilst he knows his own culture, Western and European culture is not foreign to him. So he's in the perfect position to speak about both and he loves to debate, so he's really the perfect interview guest. So this is a conversation about cultural differences as it relates to gender and feminism. On top of that, I'm very happy to present this conversation for the unique and relatable portray of an quote-unquote African attitude. You'll see what I mean. Unfortunately, the audio isn't that great, but everything is understandable and I hope you'll bear with me. So without further ado, here's Bai telling his story.
After my primary education, you know, I decided to go because of family situation. Mm-hmm. I decided to go to the Gambia, and being in the Gambia, that's why I can speak my nonsense English. So I never learned English in my life.
Yeah,
I never learned English in my life. I just learned my nonsense English by listening to people talking, and because of I was in a situation where I have to adapt into this situation.
Yeah.
So to adapt and understand the situation, I have to, you know, speak this language.
Yeah.
That's why anyway at the end I end up speaking my nonsense English.
So yeah, I mean, I'm really fucking great that you're speaking English, actually.
It's
the reason why we can do this sort of interview.
Right.
Yeah, for the listeners, like, Senegal is a French-speaking country, and there's not so many people that speak English. Mm-hmm. But the Gambia is a little exception in West Africa, where
English is one of the main languages, mm-hmm. and a lot of Westerners come there because it's an English-speaking country. So in Gambia you had a fair amount of contact with white people, Westerners, and also due to your job?
Yeah, I was there working as a DJ and also a barkeeper.
Shit, I did not know that you were a DJ.
I was a DJ. I used to play discotheque, you know.
That's cool.
You know, and also be a barman, a barkeeper. Mm-hmm. So because of that, and with my by those days also, I was definitely different. Yeah. Compared to today.
Yeah.
So with my dreadlocks and so very and be the youngest. The youngest and we can say it's like in the staff members. I was the youngest, you know, so yeah. I was the more young guy and very active. Yeah. So I was lucky to meet a lot of European, like the European community and the American community. Mm-hmm. So because of that, and also I was trying to speak my English, I make a lot of friends, yeah. you know, up to being, you know, up to, I'm sorry, up to being sometime in a relation, you know,
yeah.
with some of this girl, especially I used to be with one English teacher who was very nice to me, you know, so because of her also,
she helped you with her English?
Yeah, because of her, definitely, of her.
I can definitely attest a lot of my English skills to the relationships I had.
No, definitely, because of her, I thank her a lot.
Yeah.
No. For me, it's not. And also because of, I can't say, because of her, in a way, because of her, as a, you know, here, as a Muslim, I would say, I would say, because of God, and God passed it to her, you know, that's why I would say, I would thank her, I would thank God and thank her.
Yeah.
Because of her, you know, I am bi.
Yeah.
I can tell you.
I am
so grateful, and I will be always excited to talk about her, and because of her, so I can discuss many things.
Mm-hmm. And you were together for how long?
We were together for 5 years.
5 years, right.
And because of her, I even know
what
is feminist, whatever, because of she was a very, very, very strong lady, you know, and I think she made me, because of her, I am the way I am. She made me also being someone who think differently.
Yeah.
Because it was before, yes, but being with her made me starting to think
that differently. That has an impact.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure.
Definitely, you know. So, and it was very interesting. Being with her, so sometimes if I talk to her, I will not stop. So you have to make me stop, you know. If I talk to her, I will not definitely stop, you know.
And exactly, this is what I'm interested in, because I think also when I met you, I realized that you have a Couchsurfing profile with very good references, like everybody's praising how nice you were to them, what an incredible experience this was. And for this I wanted to stay with you, and for this I ended up staying for over a month already. But at the end of the day, like I think I noticed after a while as well that you had I didn't have to explain so much to you, or sometimes I found myself explaining like something where I would think, oh, maybe that's a Western concept. I cannot presume that that you know this, but you already knew it, especially talking things like feminism as well, where you had, thanks to the exposure you had to to Westerners and the European community, you had you know these concepts, and for this it makes it really nice to exchange.
Yeah, it's just like me too. Since then, when we, you know, I'm very interesting about talking to feminists, to exchanging my idea, because here it's very difficult to find people where you can exchange idea about that way because of the religion.
Yeah.
When you are Muslims, it's very difficult to think about feminism or whatever because of the way Muslim is setting up.
Yeah.
But anyway, for me, like for me, my way of seeing like seeing these like things, feminism, for me, it's just like because I meet some people who the way they will think about feminism and the way me I think about feminism are very definitely different.
Yeah.
And also it's interesting because that will make us like discuss more, you know, and more try to enlarge, you know, this idea.
Definitely. I mean, there's a lot of disagreement within the feminist community, and you have like waves of feminism, where you would have like a second wave of feminism, like a person that subscribes to second wave feminism have huge disagreements with the third wave feminism, because it's they're like some of these waves have been very like more aggressive. And others have been are more like liberal, and they come from different perspectives, because also they are different generations of people and with different circumstances in their environment. So I think the environment here in Senegal, in a mainly Muslim country, it's very that has a huge influence, and for all I notice here, also the way, like these ideas that we have about that I lived here about gender, that I can observe the differences between how men and women are educated as those two predominant genders. I would say they are much more, still much more patriarchal, to my analysis, or they have definitely, they're more rigid, right? Like that's more, there's a bigger difference that I can see in between the dominance of the men and the role of the women in the society. So I would, before I allow you to comment, my question on that is, when you entered in the relationship with with the woman from England, did you feel a lot of that cultural differences like playing a role, and did that create conflict in your relationship, would you say?
Yeah. Anyway, when we talk about the relationship with the English woman, I kind of, in a way, suffer inside me, because it was a new thing for me to be in a relation with someone we don't have the same culture.
Yeah.
And beginning, I really like this person I am with. I don't want to do, it's that kind of, I have to be careful of doing a mistake to lose this relationship. So, and every time, because of I am always careful, sometimes I will do even something which is not me because of that.
Yeah.
But because I'm always careful, I don't want to play anything, I want everything to be perfect.
Yeah.
And that, in a way, is not me. Yeah. It's not real. In a sense.
Yeah. So you were, you would feel like you were suppressing a part of yourself, or you were not like there was something that you weren't showing because you were like careful.
That's it.
In the situation.
Yeah, because that is the beginning.
Yeah.
Because of I am being careful with the relation, so yeah. I don't want to lose the you know,
yeah.
And because of we don't understand each and others,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that is the beginning. That's why at the beginning. It was me, I was definitely suffering.
Yeah.
You know, because I would do things who is not me, I will accept. Instead of understanding,
yeah.
I can accept it, you think. Instead of understanding what I'm accepting, but as long as it will work,
mm-hmm.
it's fine for me and it's fine for us.
Yeah.
That was the beginning of the relation with someone who we don't have the same culture.
Yeah. So at some point you mean that changed, right? Like, because you were together for 5 years, so there's definitely that moment where you were like,
yeah.
where you're letting out more of those things, and you were not so careful anymore because obviously you were suffering.
Of course.
Yeah.
But at the end,
yeah.
You build up the relation.
Yeah.
Knowing each other more. Understanding all this inside everything and trying to build your own, not like European culture or African culture, but your own culture.
Yeah.
That will be you.
Yeah.
You know, you build your own, you set up your own culture, and you will be dealing with your own culture.
Mm-hmm. You will definitely always be exchanging.
That's it. And that will be something you will take from her culture, and also she will be accepting from your culture,
mm-hmm.
and you just mix it together to be able to be happy together.
Yeah.
So that was how we were building our relation,
yeah.
up to making everything smooth and everything is fine. We understand each other,
yeah.
with our own, which is not European culture, which is not African culture, but it's our culture we
mm-hmm.
developed by ourselves, and we were happy
yeah.
living with that. That's, yeah.
Do you have an example of something that you were like holding in the beginning, where at the end of the relationship you were definitely a bit more uncompromising or more, yeah, sharing?
Yes, there's, anyway. Sometimes, you know, I cannot really explain it, but maybe during the way we are talking, things will come. But I'm sure that once, first, I was not used to cook.
Yeah.
Cooking
yeah.
was not my life.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? And now I have to work. She's working. I am working.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
and we have to definitely find something.
Yeah,
she will cook and I will cook.
Yeah,
and at the beginning I cannot cook. It was very difficult. I used to cook. Always the only things I can cook was just go to the market.
Yeah,
get a fish, and I will put it into this plate. You know, with a lime. Lime, you know lime?
Yeah,
lemon, potatoes, and so
yeah.
things, and so on, and make it very, very nicely. And at the end, that was a wonderful plate for us.
Cool.
You know, we used to like it.
Nice.
And afterwards, I learned to make chips and those kind of things, because I was not used to, because our culture, the culture I know,
yeah.
Men, you know, are not really,
exactly.
you know, the
exactly.
one who will cook. You
yeah.
don't even go, you don't even go to the kitchen.
Yeah.
Know? So,
yeah.
but for that, but also, now that was great, also I can see, it's a wonderful thing for this for the European culture to have a man, can go for a man to be able to cook.
Yeah.
Because there was a moment, I was living alone.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that experiences, I was doing some of my things by myself.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and I think it was cool, it was interesting.
Yeah.
So that was some part of things, and
I actually really like cooking, and I like the experience of cooking together mm-hmm. as well. Like yeah. when that's something that I miss here. Because even if I'm saying like, okay, let's have some vegetarian food, mm-hmm. I will have that prepared for me. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm like buying the veggies or whatever, there's not an opportunity for me to participate mm-hmm. because I will have it prepared for me. And it's also because I'm invited, like I am, like I'm the guest, mm-hmm. always I'm perceived as the guest. Mm-hmm. But I also think that it's because I'm read as a man, mm-hmm. and people see that don't really have the idea of expecting me in the kitchen, right? Mm-hmm. Like they don't. Mm-hmm. It's hard to overcome that within so much time here. Like it's mm-hmm. not. I'm sure after a while, like we would find more opportunities. But oftentimes, I miss it to be cooking together.
And also sometimes. The way also, the way our kitchens
yeah.
are, sometimes, most of it, because now people are changing
yeah.
to make it a little bit European kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But our normal kitchens, the way it's built and set up, are not really meant yeah. for like sharing.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you have yeah. to. It's not really meant for sharing because yeah. the way it was built. But now, because of people are moving, seeing automa and changing construction, yeah. the way they would see in Europe, a lot of things, and yeah. it's changing. So it's, that's why also men also start getting to inside the kitchen bit yeah. by bit. Now it's coming, and I'm sure in a few years' time also. You will see more men in many men in the kitchens.
Yeah.
You know, for sure.
Which is,
it's coming.
Which is a little bit like sad to also think about it, like because I at the same time of pondering overcoming like sexist gender identities or gender roles, right? Those categories that we put people in and whatever is associated with that. Mm. Like I really like the idea of like do whatever the fuck you want, regardless of which gender you have. Like, if you're a man, you can cook. If you're a woman, you can cook. Like, and we find a consensus within the relationship. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if you look at that through, like, the idea of post-colonialism, there is a little bit of a sadness inside of me that says, like, okay, great. Like, slowly, slowly, we're exporting that part of our culture as well. Changing something that is like changing, for example, the style of kitchens. Mm-hmm. Like I like in the house I was renovating in Berlin, I planned the kitchen as a center element of the house, like in the center, opposite of the couch, opposite of where people are gathering. I thought of the kitchen island. The stove was in the middle of the room, where to be cooking and making eye contact with your guests at the same time, mm-hmm. to have the cooking as a, so I love that, mm-hmm. right? But is that really something that we need to, like, sometimes I have really mixed feelings because I'm happy at the same time for having European kitchens, maybe even here, but maybe there's also a loss of what is known here, right?
And also, things can be always depending on the situation of the house, and the way they definitely build,
yeah.
the way they definitely build will affect also some yeah. of your things. And also, you were just talking now about gender and this thing.
Yeah.
And for me, I hate sometimes the idea, maybe it's true, but it's not what I believe. I had the idea of men's things, women's things. It's just human
yeah.
for me. It's that kind of things I believe. It's a human thing.
Yeah.
Like what you said. If a man can do it, it's fine. If a woman can do it, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever can do that, the things he can do it. It's a human thing, you know. It's not like a man or definitely women.
Yeah.
So for me, even some people they think even in the like in our religion, is a man normally supposed to go and go to the market, brought things and come cook.
All right, yeah.
If you go to the Islamic country like Mauritania, it's the women, they will not do practical, you know, definitely they will not do anything. They will be still lying there eating. That's why they are being very, very fat.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the mind who will do everything, which is nice. And there is some things many people
that's also part of, like, I don't know that I see that actually very critical. Well, first of all, that's a problem. I met an activist or a theater actor in the fucking Sahara in Mauritania that was working on that issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where obesity amongst women, that becomes sort of the ideal of what a woman should look like. Like, their women are very, like, fed to be to the point where they're obese, like, no matter, like, it's a very, very problematic in my sense sort of thing, even though I don't have the entire idea about it, so I can't really say much about it. But also that, like, I don't know, isn't that idea of men having the, like, going to the market and are in the only, even like having control even over that part of the life, isn't that even a bit more, isn't that a step backwards rather than a step forward? Because, like, I think women having are being in charge of money and buying things and going to the market and this stuff, it's also part of an independence that they have.
Yeah, it's just what I said earlier before.
Yeah.
For me, it's just like, things will change and people have to adapt.
Yeah.
Because of the time, you have to adapt to the time, to the moment, to the hours, to the minute, to the seconds, to the what, you have to just adapt into the situations and to the changes. You know, sometimes, if you, why, you know, I don't know, making your things up while there is no water, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like that. For me, if it's not, it's for me, it's not about going backward or forward.
Yeah.
If at this present moment, it's fine
for
me. If it's fine, you know, to be able to do that, it's fine. You know, for me,
yeah,
it's fine because of they just kind of adapt into the situation and deal with the situation.
That's a great idea of moral relativism.
Yeah.
I love it. But at the same, like, what I meant with for backwards, maybe like for the lack of a better word, I think what I meant was just on that idea of having equality, right? Like having even that sort of egality between the genders, of everybody being able to do everything, taking that, so because that's an act of empowerment, right? Like giving opportunity to people to go shopping, to do things, to cook if they're men, to cook if they're women, to have a job, to earn their own money, to have their own car, those things. Like, that's always, for me, that's like, if that's the goal, then like you described it, men shopping and taking on more of that, of this work, whilst women sort of staying on the side of that in those relationships, that just sounded a bit like it's not not so much equality.
But anyway, I'm not saying that.
Yeah. Okay.
In a way, I'm not saying that. But also, I tell you, I don't believe on equality.
Yeah, you said this before.
Definitely.
Okay.
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Because for me, I think we are not born to be equal.
That's a... Explain yourself,
please.
That's
my... Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my...
Because that's, you know, complicated shit, man.
Yeah.
You will have a lot of people disagreeing, yeah, if you don't...
Definitely,
clarify,
definitely.
Like, so you're...
For me, like what you said, for me, I don't believe in it, well, and I don't even like to be equal with anyone, you know, because I just would like to understand. And why, for me, I think we should accept some, like, to deal with the situation. If the situation is like, to go and go to the market, I will go to market. And if you can do it, do it. But not like always. You, it's kind of your duty, or it's your job. If you can and I can, I will do it.
Yeah.
If you can and I can, I will do it. It's just to make our life,
yeah,
like, nice or good or understandable, or to, you know, to live without anything.
Yeah.
I don't need to wait for you to do this whilst I can do it. And don't do it. And I don't want people to think it's only me who has to do this.
Yeah, yeah. No. I think, well, the reason why I wanted to give you there a second to explain yourself, because I heard you say this before, and I did get definitely offended over it, because it's like just a very harsh thing to say. But then you showed me this picture of like these three people that are looking over a fence,
yes,
and there is and there is a person, like a very tall person, that can just see it, and then there is a middle-sized person that can barely, like, but that can just not see, look over that wall, right? And then there is a kid or something, and it's like totally unable, like the wall is twice as big as the kid, and you like, next to it there was written like equality, where nobody got, or where everybody got like a chair, and then the tall one could like easily look over the wall, the middle one could kind of see it, and the kid still couldn't see it. And then there was that same picture where it said equality, right? With the tall person having no help and no chair, and then the kid having instead two actually, and then everybody was looking over the wall, and everybody was capable. And I think that, like,
that is the sound of equity.
Equity, right?
Yeah.
And that's I really like that. I think that brings a lot of practicality to it, which is it's much needed here, because the situation here for sure is you need to work with it, and we're far away from equality. We're far away from having that sort of, oh yeah, it doesn't matter, and whatever, it's what you said. If you can do it, like, if I help, but it doesn't always have to be me, and it doesn't, like, that idea behind that those are our roles, and those are what we're made to do, like, that's what's so questionable.
Okay. That is one thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you from my ideas. For me, like, like I say, I don't believe in equality. I believe on equity. Uh-huh. But doesn't mean equality doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That is it. It's just my belief is that we are living in this world. What we are doing is to make our living better.
Yeah.
In peace, in whatever, to be better.
Yeah.
That is equality. That is equity. That is whatever, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But all those situations, those are situations where you will just adapt.
Yeah.
If you we are in a situation where the solution is equality, we will use equality to solve for that situation and we pass.
Yeah.
We will be not equal for for all of our life, all of our life, because it's not possible.
Yeah.
Or we are not doing equity for all of our life. It's just situation. When the situation comes, we have to deal with the situation, and we pass on.
Yeah.
For me, I don't think we just should be like this. But we have to accept equity exists, equality exists, other things like women,
sexism,
all those things that exist.
Yeah.
And it's in our society. But we will deal, in my point of view, we will deal with us, because it's just a situation. It will come, the situation will come, and we'll go. Yeah. When he comes, you deal with the situation, and you go.
Yeah.
You know, another situation comes, you deal with more, and you go, life goes on.
Yeah.
But keeping, want to keep yourself into that box.
Yeah.
It's for me, it's not right. Because even as you are talking about feminist things, even you are feminist, sometimes you will deal, you will face a situation where you have to deal with it in a different ideas, because it's that ideas who will put you out of the situation.
Yeah.
And you pass on. That means, still now, that doesn't mean you are not in this, or whatever. You are still, it's still in your heart.
I think there's definitely different approaches. Mm. Also at the same time, if you have a great acceptance of your shortfalls and those moments where you don't, we're not living up to that ideal. And there are definitely those moments that definitely, to me, that brings also a danger of being, of like falling back, like, and falling short of your ideals more and more, because you start to, well, in your realism, right, and your idea, okay, this is the world that I'm dealing with, you sort of get cynical about it, and you're losing a little bit that motivation. But I wanted to ask you another thing. In your relationships and in the moments like when you learned about feminism, did you feel like you ever had to give up like something that you considered a privilege before, where you felt like, okay, in our culture, I have more of a right about, like, I'm more entitled to something, for example, and then in those moments where you had, where you were with the feminists, you realized like, okay, and to make this work, I have to give that up.
For me, I will always fight for what I think is my right. For what I think is not right. Up to I understand that it's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or up to I understand that you are right.
Yeah.
You know, so I will accept.
Mm-hmm.
But as long you can't convince me about, you know, what I believe, for me, I would not really, I would continue with my ideas, fighting for with my ideas.
Yeah.
Up to, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And for feminists, feminist answer, for me, it's not about fighting, because the fight, we are not in a, we don't want to bring back, like what you say, like the fight. It's spiritual, is like the fight is the is spiritual, like brain's fight.
Yeah.
You know, the fight, we have to be strong in our brain. You know, and also to sometimes also accept things the way things is. for me, let's say, I'm not, it's not like this, I don't have a like, you are, maybe you are red because that is the word, you know, you are fighting. But for me, it's the way I'm fighting for this. It's just, you know, to use my brain, to use my brain to defend what I think is not it's not right into this situation.
Yeah.
You know, I would defend it and I will pass it on, but I will not stay on that.
Yeah.
You know, I will defend, I will pass it on and wait on other things. I don't think I get your question properly, but if you
well,
can
I will, I will maybe also sum up what you said, because I think in some way that resonates with me, and spiritually, for example, like I think that I want peace, right? And I have a need for comfort.
Good.
But there's, if you understand that feminism is created by and is fought for by women, right? Like, I will not take credit for feminism as a male socialized person, because as a non-binary person, because I feel like that wasn't, it's not my achievement. So it's, and I do see it as a fight in a lot of ways, because women are fighting for their rights. And when, like, when I'm, when I sort of think about it in two peaceful ways, I think that that doesn't do justice to the women that have created and that have fought for feminism in the past, that have the movements that fought for women's rights to vote, and all of these things. So, and on top of that, I'm scared of, I think I think in even in our society, like, or in most societies, women fighting, like, if a man is portraying these like strong characteristics of defending something, right? Like, of being very powerful, being very upfront and direct. I will.
Africa.
This is Africa.
Africa, man.
Yeah, no worries. I will definitely leave this in.
Yeah, that's fine.
I just think that if we are too peaceful about it, especially when men are saying, like, I really don't like you fighting. Yeah, that falls into a convenient spot that fulfills sort of my need for comfort. But like, for most of time, like, women have been like, when men fight, it's sort of accepted. But when women fight, it's sort of like seen as a pain in the ass. It's sort of seen as something like not so appreciated, as somebody like making fuss and not. Like, not, it's not so, it's not never really like justified, or it's not seen as something that that is a lack of legitimacy that in for that the fight of the women. And I think that's why I think for me feminism has to do with like being uncomfortable sometimes, giving up privileges, things that I felt like entitled to for a while, until I understood, like, shit, like, I'm not, like, this is not very well distributed, you know, in our society, and then I need to give it up. Yeah.
Me, for me, I agree with you about what I say, what I agree what you say, but for me, what I think, mm-hmm. what I really think about this, is nothing, women, women,
mm-hmm.
I think they are already, for me, they are already strong.
Yeah.
They are already strong.
Mm-hmm.
the way they are.
Yeah.
The way they are. And also, we already, because we cannot, in a way, do something bad for a woman. In a way, I'm just telling you, because always there is these two sides.
Yeah.
Because we are also here because of also a woman.
Yeah.
If everybody think about this mother.
Yeah.
Everybody think about this mother. How can you do bad things to a woman or to harm women?
Well, and I mean, that in an ideal world, you know, we would just have much like infinite love and appreciation for the role that women play in our society, in our lives, and because, I mean, it's like almost half of the population, you know, like it's those are important souls and beings, and they should have every right to contribute in every beautiful fashion that they want to contribute in our society. But I suppose if you call yourself a feminist, or if you're thinking about those things, you would probably agree that in our society right now, it's not the case, right? Like, women are not allowed to contribute, and in a society freely, they don't have all the rights and privileges that men have.
Okay, that was the thing I wanted, yeah, obviously to ask you.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what kind of right you want to say? You are describing me some of those rights.
Rights that women are lacking, like rights that men have, but
no, women, yes,
that women don't have. I think it starts in a lot of situations. Women are just on the sidelines for so many decision-making processes in our society. I mean, that's really at the root of the problem, because if we would listen to women more, we would understand their problems, and if we would take them seriously, there wouldn't even be that question that you just asked. But it's so hard to explain in so many words, because it runs so deeply. But if you just look at TV, if you just look at a conversation in a group, even if there's women, if you look at how many people are who is speaking and who is listened to, who is defending and who is attacking, right? In so many situations, there is men that are talking to men, and there is women that are given very little space. And I think that's true in I think that's true in the government. I think that's true in the media. I think that's true in associations. I saw. Especially here, for example, like in the city, I saw a group of men gathering, and I saw from, they were in a plenary, right? They were talking to, they were in a meeting for their structure, their association, and they were, there's just men, right? They were planning something like charitable. I'm sure they were doing a service to the community, but there was no women. So I think that, the right for representation, the right to be heard and to be taken seriously, is a massive one. That why I would say fundamentally, women are not on the same level as men.
Okay, for me, I see it in a different way. Men are just talkative men. For me, that's
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
You know, I just talkative. And they are also in a way they are kind of weak. for me.
Yeah.
But to hide all those things, that's why. To hide themselves.
Yeah.
That's why they will be always, you can see them that, like that. But yeah. Every time, even there's 10 women, 10 men and one woman, you think they don't listen to him. But after when the man talk, I think every time, most of the time, when he said, I want to say something, and he said, people there will listen to him.
To her.
I don't know, yes, they will listen to her, and they will take care of what he say, what she say.
I got to call bullshit on that.
No, maybe, you know, maybe also, it can be also a cultural aspect.
Yeah.
In your cultures, and in a different cultures, you know, in a different cultures.
Yeah.
But here, sometimes it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at,
I have to say, like, I'm in a weird position because I'm really critical right now, right? Like, and I love our debate, but at the same time, I definitely come from a different culture. I observe things here, but I can't speak for your culture. And there's definitely also things that I can't observe. So I can speak for my own culture, and I know that women are not regarded enough and that are not respected enough. And I think that here, in a way, like it seems bizarre and much more patriarchal to me. But at the same time, there is a respect for women here that I see as something that, for example, our society is missing. So I can't judge that. I'm not the one to judge it. But if you say so, you know, like that's fine.
I'm saying maybe. Yeah. Your life is definitely complicated. Maybe I am lucky.
Yeah.
To have some strong friends, very powerful friends, women's friends, very powerful.
Female friends.
Female friends, very powerful. In a way.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a luck for me.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I don't see some big foot.
Yeah.
In big one.
Yeah.
You know, but. I think even to deal with the big ones, with the big ones, just have like what I said before. You just deal with the situation, because some situation you can see them with their power. Some situation they can be weak.
Mm.
It's just for me something to do with the situation. So for me, what I want. Us to think more. It's just to think about we are like the way it is.
Yeah.
We are human, and a man is a man, like what you said before. You know, a woman is a woman. You know, because we even talk about it. Because, and I feel like very bad sometimes when we say, okay, that is a man, that is a woman. But where are the others? There is some who are not men.
Yeah.
Who are not others.
All the non-conforming genders
you
in
see?
Between. Yeah.
And they don't, I never sit and hear people thinking about them.
Well.
In a way.
Yeah.
You know.
I love you for saying that.
You know, that's it.
You're right, and even our conversation right now had definitely a misrepresentation of that. It's somehow the non-binary folks and the trans folks that are that nicely put all of what we just said on its head and saying balls to that or whatever.
It's just like they're not part of it.
Yeah.
They're not part of it. And even I see people, okay, even they also, okay, job, women to men, job, women to men. Hey, even for job, I'm starting to develop that kind of things.
Yeah.
You know, one man. That is bullshit.
Yeah.
For me,
it's a confession of our society that, like, whatever we made about this whole gender thing, it's like really not working out because there are so many people that are not identifying with whatever is associated as male or female.
That's why I believe the best is we just woke to understand that we are just human and we will just be adapting in the situation of this world, in our life, to make our life better.
Yeah.
That's it. But to think about men, women, about whatever, you know, those will create us another problem.
It sometimes seems reductionist to then go back to talking about men and women, but at the same time, that sort of idea of equity, where you're helping the weak and you're and the ones that already are tall enough to look over the wall, they don't get any help. For that, you have to assess who needs what right now, like who is not given enough attention in our society. And for that, sometimes we talk a lot about genders and those, that's what we're talking about.
You know, it's talking about equality and equity. It's not like it's about for me. Those things are just situations.
Yeah.
It's situations.
I love that, like, how situationally and practically you're approaching this.
Yeah, for me, but it's just you just deal with the situation, and what even when the situation come back again, you will deal again.
I want to say that.
But the situation is not there. Why you are doing that? That's the situation for you.
I think that's the most African approach ever. if you excuse my categorization.
No, it's fine. And I agree. Because we are living today. We don't think about, tomorrow. Tomorrow is maybe.
Yeah.
Because for us, it's not depending. Our living tomorrow is not demanding for us.
Yeah.
So that's why we. That is the way our brains will work also.
Yeah.
Because of the way it, the way we believe, that is the way our brain will work. You know.
I feel like we reached a really nice point with this conversation, but there is one last thing that I want to get into, and that's it's sort of a natural natural thing that follows from your biography, because you told me that you've been in a bunch of romantic relationships with Europeans and an American woman.
Yeah.
But then again, now you came back to Senegal and you are married to a Senegalese woman. And as I understood, that's an arranged marriage, right? Is that fair to say?
What do you mean, arranged marriage?
That means that you came here and you decided you want to marry a Senegalese woman, and contrary to like our European idea of romance and like falling in love first. And then deciding, I want to be with this person. I think you decided to be with that person, and then you fell in love, or maybe you could just tell a bit of that story, right?
Anyway, like
how that worked.
For me,
yeah.
For me. Yeah. You will like before you love.
Yeah.
You can, in one click,
you
can like someone.
Yeah.
But love will take time.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to build it. It's like a similar tree. When you plant a tree, you will come every day, you make water.
Mm-hmm.
And you expect tomorrow to have some fruit.
Yeah.
You know, to grow up, but it will take time. It's not in one click.
Yeah.
So now, my wife, the wife I met here, It was just one click, I see her, you know, and I like her.
Yeah.
I went to her, talked to her, love, who is, that is a love arrangement.
Yeah.
I think that is the psychology of a European. But in our psychology,
yeah,
we don't have that.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have that, but it's what
but,
they
but
want.
But tell me more about that process, because I don't know the full details of it. That's why I thought it was arranged.
So,
but
so that's why, no.
So you met her, like, you saw her in the street, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw her. I asked where she lived.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. They tell me, hey, okay, who is he? I said, no, I want to go to visit her.
Yeah.
I just went.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I introduced myself. She said, you know, okay, have a seat. You know, I have a seat. I just sit.
Yeah.
And chat. And we start talking.
Okay.
When we start talking, you know, everything, you know, is smooth. So
okay.
I went to this I went to this parents. And say hi and after, sit there for a while and say, okay, I am going.
Yeah.
So the okay was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything was perfect. I said, okay, I will come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Of course, tomorrow I come back. We start developing ideas, and I can see the way she would think, and also she would say, she would think, like normal.
Mm-hmm.
And we develop together something,
yeah,
you know, together, and show it to people,
yeah,
that we like each other,
mm-hmm,
and we married, and because of we think love, you will love will come.
Yeah, okay.
Love,
mm-hmm,
will come.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to feed love.
Mm.
Love, you have to feed.
You know, feed.
You have to feed, mm-hmm, love day by day.
Yes. How long did it take you from meeting to getting married?
No, just around 2 or 3 months.
2 or 3 months.
What? I was with the European girls for 5 years, but
yeah,
not married.
And you didn't marry.
And still, it's like, and doesn't mean we don't like, we don't like each other.
Mm.
Because all my friends, I've been with.
Yeah.
Hmm? Some I am still friends.
Are your girlfriends?
Oh,
yes.
All my girlfriends. I am still friends. And
yeah,
it's more than 20 years, I am still friends with them.
Yeah.
15 years, I am still friends with them.
Okay.
But
yeah, so you're, I like that idea. I would not call it an arranged marriage, and I sort of was wrong about that. But I definitely think that it's a little bit it's a little bit against the idea of romance or a romantic love, when you're saying like I like you as a person, and I like the sort of project that our life together could look like, and I trust that we're gonna be like loving each other at some point. I'm really happy with this conversation, and I'm really happy you sat down with me. Do you have anything else to share that's in your heart?
Anyway, thank you. You know, thank you very much, because me too, I'm definitely happy, you know, even though it's a kind of first time I am kind of doing this kind of, you know,
interview,
this kind of thing,
yeah,
interview, and I feel like it's very, 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 very nice. I want to say, and you want, mm-hmm, me to say too? Want me to say what? Like what?
No, if you have nothing left, then it's cool, but maybe you want to say like...
No, me, I have a lot of things to say.
Yeah, I suppose, okay.
You know,
yeah.
So, one thing I want to say,
yeah,
if I, you know,
mm-hmm,
which is me being with, in the European society, society in Africa, seeing them all coming to help Africa, I think also a way of also doing back, like helping back. Helping back your the other side.
Yeah.
You know, because we know we have something where we can share it with them, you know, with the other side. And I really think about this thing, especially what I used to tell you about talking, like, because I will be unhappy tomorrow if I come to Germany and find you in those kind of houses for old men, you know. I would be very unhappy.
We talked just before this conversation about retirement homes and his dream to actually take care of old people in Europe, because it sounds so awful to be in a retirement home away from your family.
I don't want my friends to be there. I want to, you know, I want, because the way we are living, that is the way I know, that's the way I think is the best. And it's nothing, you don't know this one or that one, but you can take something from here and take from something from there and try to have something good. You know, sharing things, you know. And my way of life now, I think about, most about linking things. Even though sharing, yes, I just like to link things, you know, to be able to get some things, you know.
I think you, I thank you for being part of this very critical conversation. And I think that, you have a lot of things to share, and even that thought about feeling strongly about how the community here is taking care of elderly people and the older generation, like how the younger generation is taking care of the older generation, is something that is, it's really, it's something that you definitely should share, and that's something really beautiful that you are, that where I see you exactly as a sort of mediator, the link between things that are missing in our society and things that are here where you from your experience can share. So even though this conversation maybe didn't represent so much of that, because we talked about one very specific subject, I think that I'm really happy to leave it on this note, whatever you think about feminism, and whatever it seems like to listen from the outside about and hear about the society here. There are so many other things, there are so many things in the society that are hugely interesting, especially the communal and family life, the spirit of living day by day, and other things that we have touched on. And you amaze me every day when we're talking about your introspection about those things, and I'm learning so much. So thank you for sitting down with me now and all the times before. I really appreciate it.
Right, there you have it. Bai is such a sweet guy, and I'm very happy to have this interview, even just as a memory of his values and ideas. I hope you found our conversation interesting and you gained some insights. If you have some thoughts on the subject or further resources maybe, let me know. I'm also open to constructive criticism, as always, especially about my role in the interview. I found it quite hard at times to create a critical and interesting conversation without being unrespectful of the culture here and being too quick to judge. I try to remind myself that I don't know much about the way of life here, and I'm here to learn, but at the same time some things just trigger me and my opinions come through. Bai is super sweet about this, and he actually welcomes my disagreement. but I'm happy to hear your perspectives on it. So don't hesitate to get in touch. A massive thanks to Bai for agreeing to this interview and to all he has shared with me over the last months. Thanks again to Alamin Records for providing the studio in St. Louis, and thanks to Wondertalk and Yatao for granting me to use their music in this show. And especially thanks to anyone listening to this for showing interest and supporting me in this project. I really appreciate it, and I'm glad to know when I'm writing these episodes that there's people that are going to listen to it, and that's great. So I'm looking forward to seeing you again in the next episode. So until then, take care and have a lovely time. Thank you.